A man walks into POP Fishing and Marine and he stands, staring and still. After a few minutes, the heavy perfection of machined metal speaks to him, and he reaches out his hand to a shiny chrome jethead trolling lure. This man owns no boat. He owns no fishing rod, no reel. But he picks up the chrome jethead fishing lure and carries it to the register, where he stands proudly. The woman at the register knows this man does not fish, but she smiles. She comes out from behind the counter, and she leads him across the store to the display of big green egg cookers. He reaches out his hand, and he lays it on the finely engineered top of an extra-large-sized big green egg. Suddenly, his face gains back the faraway look of a man who has been called by something powerful, and he turns to the woman from the sales desk, and he says, "I have an enormous backyard. POP Fishing and Marine. You want stuff that works? We got it. On Pier 38, next to Nico's."
You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Okay, welcome aboard. You know, I really look forward to this as we get towards the end of the year. We often explain, for those of you that don't know, the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council is a huge, huge organization of people and space, but the actual hands-on guys are really small, and they really rely on you, because we often say that it's a bottoms-up council, and it really is. So there are a bunch of changes that are coming down the line. There's all kinds of things happening in the monument, and it just seemed to be a very timely point of the year for us to help announce some of these meetings that are going on. So Josh Jamello is wears multiple hats at the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Council meeting, but he's an analyst, and that means that he needs scoops. So they have these things called scoping meetings, and I was teasing you off the air saying, this is not when you go down to the nightclub and scope out the Wahinis. But in fact, there are some similarities. What are scoping meetings all about?
Well, when we go out for scoping meetings, we're really out there to listen to the community on what their issues are, or on a particular issue, and see if they have any feedback that they can help us with developing options for our regulations.
Yeah, and one thing that I thought was interesting is that we don't know what brings people into the fold, you know, what particular thing, but you said that quite often somebody will find out about something that is of specific interest to them. And I guess that maybe you can explain this. The fishery is comprised of offshore guys, of onshore guys, of net guys, of, you know, little tiny guys. They don't kind of talk to each other too much, except when they find out about these.
Right.
Talk about that a little bit. How that we assume that all fishermen, you know, whether you're a marlin guy or whether you're a guy catching, opi in the stream, that you know each other.
Right. So there's a bunch of different sectors out there fishing, and usually we really are targeting the boat fishermen most of the time because we are dealing with the federal waters three to 200 miles offshore. But we also have this ecosystem approach. Mm-hmm. So the guys fishing inshore have just as much impact on the ecosystem as those guys fishing offshore.
Yeah. That's why I think it's incredibly interesting. Now, today, what we're going to talk about is when you do these, I don't know if people know the energy that you guys and the expense that you go through to provide this opportunity. So let's talk about these scoping meetings. For instance, before we start, when and where, and we got the when and where's, we're talking Hilo, Maui, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, and Kona. It's statewide. But there's common interests here. What is the main thrust of what this series of scoping meetings, what's it about?
So a couple months back, President Obama proclaimed an area adjacent to the Papahānaumokuakea Marine National Monument as the monument expansion area. So as that is designated, and they're going through the process of developing management plans, the National Marine Fisheries Service sent the council a letter asking us to promulgate fishing regulations for this expanded area.
Right.
And under this, we will be looking at three different fishing, I guess, issues. One would be prohibiting commercial fishing. Another is regulating non-commercial fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is regulating Native Hawaiian subsistence fishing.
What I find interesting is some people listening to the program would be all three of those people.
Right.
You know what I mean? There would be either commercial all the time, commercial sometime, or just got to eat.
Right.
You know, so that's that. It's not strange bedfellows. It's the same person. Whether they're in, but I also think that there's still a lot of confusion as to what this really actually means, particularly for us here in the main eight islands, in the main eight Hawaiian islands.
So what we really want to know is, has there been any fishing out there up in the northwestern mm-hmm. Hawaiian islands that occurred outside of 50 miles?
Mm-hmm.
If it did, what kind of gear did you use? What kind of species did you mm-hmm. catch? How many boats were out there? What kind of gears? It is really far mm-hmm. for someone to just go subsistence fishing.
But aren't you sometimes surprised at the lengths at which some people will go to?
Well, and it's not just how far they will go. It's mm-hmm. having that right to actually go fishing.
There you go.
That's key for us because I know we'll probably hear that, oh, it's far away, there should be no fishing. But mm-hmm. but in reality, it's having that right, mm-hmm. both the Native Hawaiian right and the fisherman's right.
Well, I did notice, and we have to make sure that people understand, this has not got to do with the cultural stuff that may be organized through or with help of OHA and some of the other things that happen on this. I think that what's happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's still a lot of confusion out there because there is a huge addition to this monument that the latest executive order that the president did, this antiquity thing that he did. So it actually does affect some people that aren't going quite as far as some might think. Some people from Kauai, for instance.
Well, and we don't know what all the answers are yet either mm-hmm. because they're just still in the beginning process of trying to figure out, is it one monument that was expanded to 200 miles or mm-hmm. is it two monuments that would share a management plan or is it two separate management plans?
I'd say I don't get it.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of confusion out there, but I still think that you still need to have, I think that those people that are listening to the program, no matter whether what week they're listening in, I think that they're going to get the idea, okay, I just want to go look. I'm just Niele. I'm nervous. I don't want my rights taken away. I want to be able to know. And mainly, Josh, I think that people really don't want to break the law. They want to find out what's up.
Right. And for me, I hope that people come and they honestly want to have that discussion mm-hmm. because the monument it's a done deal. It's mm. well, at least for now, it's a done deal. Yeah. What we really want to know is, okay, since it's a monument and we have to make regulations, mm-hmm. what can everyone live with?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point because I do know that, you know, no matter what you think about the elections or who's on first, it doesn't really matter. The people have spoken. We're trying to get used to it. There's all kinds of challenges. We're not going to really know for a while who is on first. But I do know that an executive order can be changed by another executive order. So what we really have to do is find out how much information is going to go to the president-elect or to the president or Madam President or whoever's, I mean, you know, there's so many things up in the air. But how do we get a whole nother mindset to look at this thing and say, okay, we like the monument idea, but we don't like some of the consequences?
Well, and I'm sure that will come up. It has been coming up lately, mm-hmm. even in the media. So we probably won't touch on that too much. I plan on having at least a little bit of Q&A before a formal listening session. But it's really going to depend on what happens after January 18th.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. But building up to that, nobody wants to be blindsided. Nobody wants to, you know, second guess or anything else. So let's talk about, you're going through this scoping meetings, these sessions to maybe inform people on what you know so far, but mainly to get what their concerns are, right?
Right. So what's going to happen is that the council puts together an amendment to its fishery ecosystem plans
mm-hmm.
for Hawaii and the Pacific Pelagics. And in order to do that, we have to come up with options mm-hmm. on these three issues, on prohibiting commercial fishing, regulating non-commercial fishing, and regulating Native Hawaiian subsistence fishing. So mm-hmm. so we'll look at options for things such as permitting, mm-hmm. or maybe there's a limit that they can take if they're going to go.
Right. Yeah.
There's also ideas of customary exchange that's used in the Marianas and the Pacific Remote Island Areas monuments, and if that is amenable to the Native Hawaiians. So there's a bunch of issues with a bunch of options that are going to come out with it, and then the council is going to vote on which one they think would be best.
There you go. That, and that's why the more input that you can gather on these series of meetings, these six meetings that are going to take place. And I'll tell you why another thing I think is kind of important here. Because a lot of us are sequestered in our own little kuleana. We don't really step, you know, too far outside of what it is. So I'm also getting that you suspect that there's some activity going on that we don't know about. And that if you do know about it, you're not telling anybody secrets, but you actually can be, I don't know, I guess ammunition to make some changes.
Right. So I think a lot will depend on those bigger boats that go out to like the cross sea mounters. If they are going out to those weather buoys up in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, what are they doing up there? And
mm-hmm. What are they catching?
Yeah. What's useful to know for us so mm-hmm. that we're not affecting the fishermen too much.
Well, the thing I think is interesting is if somebody is in that neck of the woods, if they're not going to go back there unless they catch something. In other words, they're catching something, and I'm not sure if it has any major impact. I would suspect no, because we talked about this before on other programs, that sometimes a handful of fishermen don't do as much damage as other people used to think that they do. I mean, remember when we talked about the original Papahana Moku Akea, those nine or so guys, bottom fishing guys that couldn't go there anymore?
Right. So there may be other opportunities that people have been mm-hmm. throwing around that they'd like to do, that maybe they'd like to go do a charter kind of thing off of a big boat or something.
Yeah. Why don't you, let's first start making sure that our listeners know statewide, and those of you listening online, you can also go to wpcouncil.org and find out about these meetings. These are about the proposed regulations. I don't know if people really know a place to get them except going to the wpcouncil.org to check this out, because some listeners are going to be surprised that they're included in this group and they didn't expect to be. There's a lot of changes that are looked at here.
Oh, there are a lot of things that will be happening, and that whole process of coming from these public scoping meetings mm-hmm. to developing options to the council taking action and then reviewing it and putting it into the regulations is going to be a multi-year process. We'd like to think that we could do it in all of next year, but in reality, government doesn't move as fast. So. Well,
and when you get old like me, you'll understand how some of these things take a lot longer. But I do know that the zeal, I started to explain earlier, that a lot of you at the council wear lots of different hats, and that you really not only anticipate, but really require people to pitch in to prove this bottoms up deal is to come to these things. So let's talk about this. For instance, the first meeting we're talking about right now is going to be in Hilo on Tuesday the 6th. So if you're listening this weekend, it's Tuesday. Now, if you miss a couple of them because you don't hear this until the next week, don't worry about it. We'll tell you about them too. Walk me through the experience. Walk me through what somebody should come to expect. What's going to happen?
So if you come to our meeting, our first meeting is in Hilo at the University of Hawaii at Hilo, Edith Kanaka Ole Hall, room 126. We're going to start off at about 6:00 p.m. Mm-hmm. And usually we're trying to have more informational type of booths or mm-hmm. Areas where you can come and talk to people. Then we'll go through a presentation on what we're looking for, what a little bit of the background, what the process is, and the type of issues that that we'd like comments on. And then we'll hold a Q&A and public listening session so that you have the opportunity to ask what are your questions that you want to know so that you can formulate your opinions and provide it back to us.
Okay, I have to feel as a potential attendee that my manao has value. So let's go, you know, maybe just atypically what a guy might think, you know, I'm a bottom fisherman. You know, and I'm worried about the quotas. I'm worried. What am I worried about? What can I give me some four examples? What I might bring to a meet? I'm a bottom fisherman. I heard about this. Now I'm here. Now what?
So you're a bottom fisherman right now. You can go fishing in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands right now because there is no regulation that's prohibiting it. But we're looking at options that can say, well, you're going to need a permit, or you can only catch so much, or you can only go in certain areas, or you can only use certain gears. What types of things do you need so that you can still go fishing up there?
Now, let's say that somebody's cut their teeth on Penguin Banks. You know, and they've learned the bottom, or they're off, you know, Kauai or the Big Island or wherever, and now they want to have this experience. They got a bigger boat; they can do this. There are some specific quotas that are pretty heavily enforced in the main Hawaiian Islands on bottom fishing, right?
Right.
So there are none in the Monument area yet, only because there's not a whole bunch of people fishing there.
Right.
Don't we have to sort of quantify what's there eventually and say, should there be quotas? Isn't that what somebody should bring? Those kind of questions?
Right. So if you know the different banks there that you can actually catch bottom fish on, a lot of the bottom fish habitat is inside of the original monument that's prohibited to fishing. But if there is a spot outside, maybe there is. Maybe just like the weather buoy with the trollers, maybe there is a spot that somebody goes out there and fished, either did it back in the 70s and 80s, or someone sneaks off and goes there now that nobody knows about. It's important to know because then that is an area that maybe we can go and try and talk to the National Marine Fisheries Service or the administration about keeping.
I want to make sure that we understand something. I know that when President Obama came to Hawaii to make the big statement about the expansion of the monument, he chose to do so up at the East-West Center to a small group of people rather than be part of a bigger picture which was going on. I have a feeling that common sense is going to prevail at some point in this, because I think that people want to know that, all right, what am I even doing? You can't talk to the government. The government's a big mess. Well, you know, in many respects, the government and the council are kind of one and the same, but this provides the vehicle. I don't think that people really get that.
Right. And a lot of times we do get those commenters that come over to the meeting, and it's, you know, we're the feds, we're here to help kind of meeting, and people come out and they just rail against us because we're the feds and we're here to help. You know, a lot of the times the federal government doesn't give that opportunity to provide feedback. Yeah. So if anybody comes out, they'll come out with every issue, which, you know, isn't that bad of a deal sometimes. But while we'd like to keep it focused, I'm willing to suffer the slings and arrows of.
Yeah, and I think here's what's important. You have to differentiate. Those of you that have been to the Fishers Forums, that's a little bit different. Okay, this is a reaching out by the council to get you in to the family and to have a dialogue. The panels, for instance, there were at the last Fishers Forum, there was argumentation within the panel, which was, I think, good for everybody that was there, saying nobody's trying to sell us a bill of goods. They're actually listening, because there's a bunch of people at this table and they all have different opinions.
You're right. And a lot of federal government listening sessions that they have is basically somebody sits in the front and they just let people say whatever they want and comment. I'd like to make it a little bit different and actually be able to respond to some of the comments, and also to provide more information on what kind of things we're actually looking for.
Yeah, and that's why I asked, you know, to make sure that I am, number one, incentivized by listening and by coming, and number two, what do I expect, and how valuable am I? Where do I play a part in the way these gears are meshing together? So let's talk about, when you talked about booths and everything before, what's going to accompany these scoping meetings?
Really, that you'd really want to come out because you've heard about the monument and you heard that there's going to be fishing regulations, and you want to know how can we talk about fishing, you know, in an area that's so remote from the main population center of the state, and an area that is 3 miles deep that fishing gear won't even impact. It's mainly a pelagic deep water area. Mm-hmm. that that were affecting deep water pelagic species. So what do you want to know about it? And and what can you tell us about that area?
You said something interesting before that people don't, maybe a regular listener to the show doesn't get it. Josh DeMello from the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council is an analyst. And one of the things when you talk about, when we talk about the pelagics, every now and again in this big expanse of ocean, there's this really wonderful thing, a pinnacle or a mount or something. And now you're talking about a whole different population. These aren't pelagics. These are bottom fish, or these are bottom dwellers, or these are usually found, not found in deep waters, but there's a spot in the water that's not deep. How many, I mean, aren't there, must be literally hundreds of them that somebody stumbled on over the years and they still work them, but nobody knows about it?
Well, I think there's some that are charted on the NOAA nautical charts, but there, as we saw these past couple of years with the exploration by the Falkor and other boats that went up there to do research, they found even more seamounts and yachts and everything else up there. Mm-hmm. That there must be more out there. And if you just go and look, you're going to find something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would love to be on a couple of those trips. Okay, let's go around the state. We're going to tell you more about what these meetings are. But first of all, I want to just, Josh, if you could just sort of give us an outline. The first one, like I said, is going to be dependent on when people are listening. But this Tuesday, December the 6th. And then right after that, you go from Hilo, you go over to Maui.
From Hilo, we go over to Kona.
So you go to Kona.
Drive around the island and hold a meeting on December 7th, Wednesday, December 7th at the West Hawaii Civic Center in Building G. That's right there above the boat harbor area.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we go over to Maui, and we have on December 8th and have a meeting at the Courtyard Kahului Airport. That's a new hotel right next to Costco near the airport. Mm-hmm. And then the week after that, we'll go over to Kauai on December 13th at the
Chief. That's a Tuesday, by the way, again.
Tuesday, December 13th, Chiefest Kamakahele Middle School cafeteria.
And then in Lihue, by the way.
In Lihue. Yeah. Then we go over to, when we come back, we'll have a meeting on Oahu on Thursday, December 15th at the Ala Moana Hotel. And then we'll finish off.
Let me give you just a little bit of a hint. Those of you on Oahu that are planning on coming to the one on the 15th, remember this is holiday shopping time. So to plan to get there a little bit early, because you might have to do a couple laps in the parking lot to find your place itself, a place to park.
Right. And so we'll end up rounding out our scoping sessions on Molokai on Saturday, December 17th. This is the only one that's during the afternoon at 1 p.m. on a Saturday at Kaunakakai Elementary School cafeteria.
What I think is interesting here is that the reaction that you all get when you get to the remote places. Here in Honolulu, we think, these things, you go to whenever you want. I think that when you guys realize that all the work you're doing is either expected or appreciated by people that show up at the remote places. And I mean, they must think sometimes that they're the ones that are the last on the food chain, the last people that get listened to.
Right. It's always, Honolulu has this, Honolulu has that. But, we really want to hear from these other groups, because some of these guys are from Kauai. Some of them are from Honolulu, and they've gone out there. So the information is spread throughout the state.
When there's another thing that people don't get, when they do their catch reports, in the past, they were pretty much like, and they still are kind of grid specific, but not specific. Nobody's looking for your fish. You're not coming to these meetings and giving up any secrets. You're going to learn more than you're going to give, I would imagine.
Right. And we're not asking which koi you fish on or where, what part of that reef or what part of that ocean. We're really looking for general idea, so that will help us to build these options that the council can look at.
Okay, now here's the whole thing. What I always like to ask Josh, what the end user is. These scoping meetings, we're going to repeat them again in a minute, where they're going to be and when, is to so that you then get enough information to turn around, and I'm looking at this draft of this paper that you're doing on addressing the monument expansion. I would imagine that there's some people out there that you don't even know about yet that have points that should be considered that you can add to this draft, because once this becomes a reality, it's pretty hard to change, isn't it, once it gets into the system?
Right. So these public scoping comments that come back, our staff will take into account and develop these options that the council looks at. So we develop a draft amendment, and we develop this whole mechanism for how the regulations will be implemented that the council will look at, and the public will again get to look at through public review, through the council, council meeting, and after that through the Federal Register process.
Okay, you got to go to wpcouncil.org to see this a little bit more. For more information, you do that, or contact the office by phone. You can look at that. It's easy. Just go to info. wpcouncil@noaa.gov. But more importantly, the goals for this is to compile what you said are some options. Right now, what's out there? In other words, you're looking at, there's a lot of confusion, right? It's about what can I do, what can I do in this expanded part of it. What you're telling people is bring what you want, because we get a chance now, maybe a pretty good way to open the door a little bit to some discussion.
Right. So right now in that monument expansion area, 50 to 200 miles on the adjacent to the existing Papahanaumokuakea Marine National Monument, right. You can actually go commercial fishing. You can go subsistence fishing. You can go non-commercial fishing. You can do all this fishing right now because it's not part of the monument. But with that expansion comes the reality that these fishing regulations have to be implemented through under the monument through the Magnuson-Stevens Act.
Right.
And since the president specifically put that into the proclamation, it has to go through the council before any of these things can either be prohibited or allowed.
Yeah. And therein lies the deal. A lot of people are going to think, well, they're just trying to line up what they're going to prohibit. No, they're trying to line up what they're going to allow. I mean, that's the opposite end of what most people think, that they're just coming here to get lip service and then they're going to do what they want. That's what some of the people used to think before they found out that these fisher forums work.
Right. And the Magnuson process is always where everything is allowed until we prohibit something.
Mm-hmm.
Other things like monuments and sanctuaries, everything's prohibited until you allow it. So in a way, it's kind of a combination of both of the processes.
I do know that a lot of people in the fishery felt pretty blindsided by the expansion because of it didn't seem to go through the process whether do you favor or not favor an expansion of the monument. Is that, in your opinion, maybe because you would think that nobody would be... Very few people would be, wanting more restrictions.
In my opinion, I think it was done to get it done this year before the president leaves office.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe they knew that we'd have a certain president elect by this time, and it would never have gone through. But I think that's the main heartburn is that no one got that official process. They had one or two meetings across in the state as listening sessions, but no real process of we're developing these options. We get to choose an option and then at the end go, okay, this is the option we have to live with.
I learned a lot from the Hawaiian community at the Fishers Forum and in other spaces that I were, that there was a lot of resentment because I think it was more from the cultural standpoint than the sustenance fishing and cultural standpoint than commercial. Because everybody knows, some of the monument, it's just too far away to go fishing. But the big guys, and what I'm really worried about here is the restrictions that may happen and the changes that may happen to our longline fishing fleet, because we really rely on these guys to go far away and catch fish that we want to buy and eat.
Right. And even though that fishing may be high or low during certain years, it was always an extra place that we can go without competition to go fishing, because otherwise you're fishing on the high seas with the folks from China, Japan,
South America. You know, how often does this question come up? And I can tell you, we're going to remind you again about these scoping meetings, when they are in your neighborhood, is that there are a lot of people that just, they just get so worried and so concerned that, wait a minute, I can't believe that this is actually happening. I can't believe that we're actually going to be prevented from doing what we do. And what everybody wants to know, and I know this comes up, is what about enforcement? we know that what the we know the restrictions on our fleet, on our people, but what about the enforcement of the demands of the monument? Who's going to take care of that when foreign boats go into that territory and go fish anyway?
Well, it's all going to fall back to the U.S. Coast Guard and NOAA Office for Law Enforcement. But and it's all about having that right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always bring it back to having the right to go fishing. I mean, there may be no one that ever goes up there in the next 10, 15 years to go fishing. Right now, we only have researchers that go up to the Northwest Hawaiian Islands. You don't have ecotourism or other kind of activities. But it's if we ever needed to go fishing there, we'd still have that ability to do it.
Yeah, and that's the point, what you said is need. You know, people have the expertise to catch fish, and they have the expertise to travel great distances to do it. And to have that one great distance shut off is concerning a lot of people, because they may have a whole business plan built on having that as a fallback. And if the fallback is eliminated, then the business plan doesn't look so good.
Right. And you'll never fish it out, because there'll always be some point where it's not economically feasible to do it anymore. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're going to be losing more money than you're making, so no sense to even keep
that
going.
Doesn't work in a fishing. I mean, all you got to do, gang, is come down to the harbor and see how few Mercedes and Maseratis and Ferraris are. I mean, we're all pickup truck dudes that are just trying to make a living, right?
Right.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. Okay, let's repeat before we run out of time here. The first meeting is going to be Tuesday, December the 6th in Hilo.
Right, at UH Hilo, Edith Kanaka'ole Hall, room 126.
Okay, and the next one is going to be the following day. That's December the 7th, which is, as you know, the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. That's going to be in Kona.
That'll be at Kona at the West Hawaii Civic Center, Building G.
Okay. And then one more in the first. This is over a 2 week period that you're listening. The next one is going to be on the island of Maui, and that's Tuesday the 8th.
Thursday, December 8th, at the Courtyard Kahului Airport. That's at a hotel right next to Costco.
By the way, I said Tuesday, and of course Josh corrected me correctly. It's Thursday the 8th.
Right. So all of these meetings are at 6 p.m. and they should run until probably around 8, but we'll be there as long as you need to talk.
Okay. So now, if you're catching this broadcast in the second week, because the items that we've been talking about were important twice, because there's a whole nother series of meetings, Kauai, Oahu, and Molokai. So let's start off with Tuesday the 13th, Kauai.
That'll be at the Chiefess Kamakahele Middle School cafeteria over in Lihue.
And Oahu, I know where it's going to be. It's going to be where Santa Claus is.
Thursday, December 15th at the Ala Moana Hotel. So Kauai and Oahu are both at 6 p.m.
And then we have a daytime on a Saturday on Molokai.
And Molokai is on Saturday, December 17th at Kauna Kakai Elementary School cafeteria at 1:00 p.m.
Okay, that's going to do it for this one. Josh, thank you very much. And if you want to know more, gang, you go to wpcouncil.org. There's a wealth of information there, and some of our past shows are there, and there's just all kinds of really great tools. It's a good place to go, especially if you want to walk a young person through what's going on. And if you want to hear something on the program, you know what to do. Drop me a line, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Have a great rest of the weekend. We'll see you next time. Travel safe. Big bites, sharp hooks, following seas. Have a good one.